Sanchez Radio Show in full color, stereo, HD, whatever you like.
How you doing, Coach? Doing good, doing good.
Caleb Herring is here. How you doing,
Caleb? I'm here once again, enjoying the time here at Born and Raised.
All right. We got a nice crowd here. We got TV sets all over the place. At least one of you has some food coming, right?
Oh, yeah, we got some on the way. I think Coach ordered some. He knows the good stuff here.
Got some sliders right away.
Sliders, huh? How about you?
Oh, I think I'm just going to wait. I'm gonna feel it out. What are those? Tostadas last time we had?
The chicken tequila.
Oh, yeah, those were great. I think I might have some of those tonight.
I had the flank steak salad over there with the sweet potato tater tots.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good, too. A lot of it sounds good.
It's a can't miss. But this is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, sponsored by Finley Toyota, a proud supporter of UNLV football and has been since it opened. Finley Toyota and UNLV Athletics, one great team. I want to start off by telling you about the Tony Sanchez Radio Show being streamed live as we speak on the all-new UNLV Game Day app. Stay up to date with your Rebel football team stats, game schedules, and score notifications. And, of course, as you know, this Saturday, you can listen live in the app as your Rebels take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Search UNLV Game Day in the iTunes and Google Play Store right now. All right, the Rebels, we're here live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. We got a lot to tell you about regarding Born and Raised and their involvement and some interesting specials and everything coming up with their Wiffle Bar tournament and a lot of good stuff to tell you about there. But we are chatting with Tony Sanchez and Caleb Herring about the Rebels. And first thing, Coach, coming off the game against Idaho, I guess it must have been nice to spend some time without anybody asking about your job status.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you just did. What the heck? No, you know what? It was good. It was a good week. We got on the road and did some really good recruiting, did some good prep work, and it was really good.
All right. Now, let's go back to the game itself, because the Rebels came into the game against Idaho. Obviously, first road game for the team, and they win big. 44-16 was the final, and of course, it's been a little bit because we're coming off a bye week now. But for that game in particular, Coach, give us your overview.
I thought the guys did a really good job of responding. I mean, you know, we were tough on them. We were very poignant about the things we needed to get better as a staff and as players, and then the guys went out and responded. You know, it's defensively, you saw a bunch of three and outs early on, which was good. Won the turnover battle, which is important. It's always important. And saw Armani continue to grow. Lexington stepped right into that one role and did a great job in the offensive line, especially in the second half, really found themselves and did a great job of creating some throwing opportunities and big run plays in special teams, and we did a really good job on that too. So overall, I thought the guys did a great job of responding and played a good game.
Caleb, how did you assess Armani Rogers in this particular game?
Well, I think Coach hit it on the head. I think he's doing a good job of really accepting the things that come to him as the offense kind of opens up and he grows and matures in the offense. Just 2 weeks in, but I mean, he's showing that he's comfortable and able to handle the load that he's going to have to bear coming into this season, and I think the team's rallying behind him. He's showing some toughness in the running game and some accuracy on the deep ball, some big plays, giving the team some momentum. So he's doing a good job handling what's thrown at him, and excited to see how he grows and continues to grow based on what he's shown so far.
He was 10 out of 16 for 193 yards and a touchdown. Of course, the really electrifying strike was a 94-yard pass to Devontae Boyd. The longest pass play for a touchdown in the history of the program.
Yeah, that was, we know what Devontae's capable of, and at that point, he had a couple drops, and we challenged him on it, and he did a great job of being a mature football player and going there and making a play. But the one thing that a lot of people didn't see was the block that Lexington Thomas made on that. He had an un-guy, a guy untouched coming off the edge, and right. Lexington cross-faced. He aborted the play fake, came across and picked that guy up, got a good chip on him, which allowed Armani to throw. So when you start to see things like that, you really start to see evolution of different players.
And that's something I noticed it during the game. It was a big pickup. I didn't know if he was assigned to him or not, but he picked the block up perfectly, backed up in the end zone. That's a safety if he doesn't pick that block up.
Absolutely.
And that's the difference between big plays and devastating plays. That's a safety turned into a 94-yard completion for a touchdown, all on the block. Like you said, an unnoted thing, kind of the unsung hero of the play. Small guy stepping in there, taking on a full steam ahead blitz. Armani Rogers doing a good job sitting in there because, he could have panicked, thrown it away, and missed out on that big play. Sitting in the pocket and delivering a strike, 94 yards, big-time play.
In the game, Lexington Thomas finished with 190 yards, and 3 touchdowns and only 17 carries. And that gives him his 9th career 100-yard day, which is tied for 6th on UNLV's all-time list, despite making only 10 starts as a Rebel.
Yeah, he got injured towards the end of last year and missed quite a bit of the end of the season. But we know how explosive he is. You've seen it time and time again. You get him into space, he's got a chance to hit the home run. So, you know, the big thing is getting him in space. And over the last couple of years, he's really developed as a good inside runner. You know, these big runs he has, they're not around the edge. I mean, he's understanding that, you know, quickest way to the end zone, straight ahead. So, you know, drop the pad level, get square to the line of scrimmage, and get through that first level. And he's doing a great job of running through contact, and, you know, really proud of him. And again, you know, his pass pro has been exceptional lately, and for a guy that's not that big, it's all toughness, you know, mental toughness. He understands what he needs to do to help the team win, and, you know, that's what we expect from Lexington, and that's what he continues to do.
I think it's one of the most deceptive things is his stature as a running back. You don't expect, you expect him to be around the edge, to hitting the sideline, looking for, you know, get out of bounds, but he doesn't. He's right in between the tackles. The offensive line, something I want to talk about a little bit. About 100 of those yards were untouched. He was untouched to the house for a couple of those big runs in Idaho. But he's between the tackles. For a small guy, I think it's a little deceptive for defenders. You come up to him and you're thinking, you know, all I got to do is wrap this guy up. 3-4 tackles he breaks before, you know, he comes down. His legs are always turning. He's a determined back, isn't he?
There's no doubt about it. You know, he's from a tough area. You know, he's got a great mom. You know, he's Houston tough, and you know, he brings it each and every day, and he's got that swagger to him, an appropriate swagger, you know, and he brings that every day onto the practice field. So, you know, we love having him, man. He was a great get. You know, was a guy that we kind of, you know, hit those 21 days, and I'll tell you what, he was an absolute gem to find. And when it's all said and done, he'll probably be one of the all-time leading rushers in the history of the school.
That's right.
Armani Rogers started it off with a 1-yard touchdown run. It was 7-0 Rebels after the first quarter. And then Evan Pantels added a 40-yard field goal early in the second. Then Idaho got on the board right before halftime with a 40-yard field goal by their kicker. So it was at halftime, it was 10-3. Discuss, if you would, Tony, the atmosphere at halftime and what adjustments you made.
Yeah, it wasn't real clean, but we knew we had some great opportunities out there early on in their very first series of the game. On the third down, they took a shot play, and they ran a wheel route. We had a blown coverage, and they missed it. So we got out of that. We kind of get out of jail free card right there. And then offensively, we were able to move the ball down, but we sputtered again a little bit in that red zone, you know, with some of those opportunities. We went back in at halftime. We felt like there was some great opportunities out there, so we settled the guys down, made a couple adjustments up front, and then really in the third quarter just kind of opened up the floodgates and got after it. So it was good to see the guys come out of the locker room and really respond. And, you know, and then after we got up, getting defensive stops, you know, you go a week earlier than that, one of the biggest things was once we regrouped and rallied and finally took the lead, we couldn't get a stop. And we had some self-inflicted wounds too, but defense did a really good job of getting some immediate three and outs. They created a turnover, gave us the ball on the 6-yard line going in, so we got a short field. They set up a score with that. So it was really good to see all facets kind of clicking in that second half.
I think in the first half, to me, it just felt a little bit almost like they were pressing to kind of get rid of that bad taste and kind of come out and lay the first hammer, looking for the knockout blow early. And I think after halftime, you can see it kind of just settled down. You had the stuff that was working. You're doing the things working. And then just finishing drives in the second half. And then the score kind of dictated, you know, the things that we saw that could have happened in the first half that just kind of came to fruition in the second half. Did halftime kind of settle the guys in and kind of get them in a rhythm?
It did. You know, nobody, you know, we went into halftime and, you know, we were all very even keeled. There was no yelling screaming. It was just kind of, it went right back to the board, right back to the coach and the little things. I think when they see that you're confident and you know that you've got ideas that are going to help them, you know, seal the deal, you know, they bought into that thing right away. So you're right. There was a little bit of pressing early on. You know, again, some uncharacteristic drops by, you know, certain guys that killed drives. And, you know, we did have one false start penalty, you know, a lot better than the 5 the week before. But, right. You know, one of those kind of got in the way of what we were doing. And, you know, we made a field goal where we also missed one, you know. So, you know, those things, you know, we just went in and kind of reflected at halftime about some of the little adjustments and just staying the course, doing our thing. And, you know, you're playing a good team, too. I mean, you know, the team you're playing, they're not going to go lightly. I mean, that's a team that, you know, had won 10 games out of the last 14, coming off a big bowl game and a first game win, you know, the season. So, you know, they put up a good fight.
Absolutely.
And I'm guessing here that considering what happened almost immediately in the second half, it was barely a minute in when Lexington burst through for that 60-yard burst, And that had to, I would think, that had to touch the guys off a little bit, too.
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, you see a play like that, you know, it just adds a spark and ignites everybody on the sideline. Defense is more lathered up to go out there and get a stop. And, you know, that's exactly what they did. Again, they got the ball right back to us. We scored again. And, you know, we had 14 points really, really fast in that second half. And, you know, it's an emotional game. And, you know, you got to be even keel, but, you know, there is a lot of emotion to it. And when you get that emotion rolling on your side, you got to take advantage of it.
And there was a time, I think, the team showed some maturity. There was a time after that wave of scoring that you did early in the second half where Idaho kind of tried to respond and tried to put some points up, put some drives together, you know, of their own. I think it was a good job by the team responding in a sense to that and kind of weathering that storm and saying, hey, you know, we're going to finish this thing off. The offensive line down the stretch, there was a drive, I think you milked about 8 minutes off the clock on the backs of those guys up front.
Yeah, you know, again, I went in after the Idaho game, and you know, I continued to do it, you know, the rest of the year, and I went in and I showed them all the positive plays, all the really good things we did, and then I went, and the last thing I showed them was all the negative things that we did. But one of the positive things was, you know, it's been a long time coming since we've been able to get the football on our own, I believe, 35-yard line, and I think we got the ball with 9.5 minutes left, and when we kicked the field goal for the final score of the game, there was a little over, I think, maybe 2:30, 2:20, something like that left on the
right
clock. So we went for it on a fourth down. You know, I asked the guys in the huddle after a timeout. I said, hey, I'm going for it. Can I trust you? And every one of them was like, we got you, coach. And, I mean, we just ran it right up the gut on an inside zone and picked up 8 yards on it. And, I mean, those are big, mature things, understanding that, you know, you go a year ago and we're playing Wyoming, and it seems like we have not a comfortable lead, but we've got a lead. All you need is 2 first downs. The game's over. We 3 and out. We punt it. We turn it into this triple overtime game. You know, those are the kind of things that you've got to learn to do if you're going to be able to close the door on people.
Right. Great signs for the team.
After that initial second half score by Lexington Thomas, barely 2 minutes later, he scored again from 1 yard out. Then Evan Pantel's hit from 22. At that point, it's 27-3.
Yeah, it is 27-3. We've got the momentum, and that's kind of what you were just talking about, you know, Caleb, about, you know, they hit a big pass play. You know, we got a guy lost in coverage, got behind everybody. They hit a big pass play. They go down and they score. All of a sudden, now it's 27-10, not as comfortable anymore. And then the guys went back and responded, which was huge. So it was great to get that cushion. You know, you needed to do that, but then, you know, adversity hits again. So what are you going to do? And our guys responded, which was good to see.
The Lexington Thomas 62-yard run is the way they responded after the Idaho touchdown. And at that point, it was 34-10. So then he had a 60-yard touchdown run and a 62-yard run.
Yeah, again, it goes back to, you know, the young man's skill set. I mean, he's a burner, you know, and our O-line has been doing what they've been doing now for 3 years. They're just a lot bigger and stronger now. And even in game one, you know, we made a ton of mistakes, but as far as, you know, yards rushing, I mean, we did a good job of moving the ball up and down the football field, just a bad job in the red zone. Well, they came out and did what they do, and, you know, Armani did a great job of checking plays and, you know, getting us into the right play. And then when Lexington, you get him in space, he's got a chance to go, and that's against anybody.
Like you just said about Armani Rogers, a lot of people look at quarterback play and just look at the yards passing or the touchdowns and how many completions you had, your percentage and all that kind of stuff. The unseen things, like the checks at the line of scrimmage, getting the protection set right, getting out of a bad run play, shifting it to the weak side, stuff like that, that I think he's showing his command of the offense. Have you felt that from him? Is he growing in that sense?
100%. And the biggest way we can tell is he's asking so many intelligent questions. He's coming to the sideline. Hey, what, you know, am I doing this right? What do I need to do? And I see the safety role here. I mean, he's being triggered by a lot of different things, and he's asking the right questions. And so it's easy to coach him up, adjust it throughout the course of the week. He doesn't come in with less questions. He comes in with more questions, which is a good thing. I mean,
right,
it's him evolving. And you know what you just said to the point there is, you know, you think about the questions that Urban Meyer's been asking all week, you know, about their quarterback situation, what's going on there. And he's been telling everyone, hey, calm down. I mean, the guy's getting us into the right protections. He's getting the right run games checked. He's doing a great job as RPOs. I mean, there's a lot of things that goes into a quarterback. It's not just dropping back and throwing pretty balls. It's setting the entire offense on every
right
single play and getting us out of bad situations. I mean, when you go out there, you call a play, and the way football is nowadays, you know, you're assuming, based on what you've seen on film, the defense is going to line up in a certain way. That's right about 50% of the time. The other 50% of the time, the quarterback, based on what you've done during that week of practice and preparation, has got to go ahead and adjust and reset and attack.
Absolutely. And this week, with 2 weeks, I'm sure his preparation is going to be – I'm sure he's had many questions going into this game and getting ready for it. But like you said, these past 2 weeks, I've been impressed with that aspect of a young quarterback making his first 2 starts in college. His command at the line of scrimmage, the command in the huddle, those type of things, getting in the right play. He's going to be special if he keeps improving at this rate.
All right, and we're going to mention also, after Idaho did score for the final time, the opening play of the fourth quarter, the Rebels came back within a minute with that amazing 94-yard pass from Armani Rogers to Devontae Boyd, and then that was just celebration time after that. Pantels kicked that final field goal.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was one of those deals on the sideline. You know, we got the ball down there, and you just kind of holler out, hey, shot play. You know, let's go ahead and take a shot. And, you know, worst case scenario, it's incomplete, and you got another down to work with. You know, best case scenario, you saw it, you know, and it really kind of is the backbreaker at that point, you know. So anytime, you know, you've got them having – when you're running the ball as well as you do, and you've got all these guys dropping down into the box, and you got a one high, and you got guys like Devontae Boyd and Kendall Keys, you know, you got to take your calculated shots. And that was one of them, and Boyd did what he's done so many times throughout his career and made a big play. So he made a little history and made a big play at the same time.
All right, talking a little about Boyd, you said earlier he had those two drops earlier. I know he was beating himself. You could see him on the sideline, a little dejected. Some of those drops, just uncharacteristic, wide open in his hands, one for a touchdown that he just dropped. Coming back for him, you could see kind of the weight lifted off his shoulder as he went into the end zone for that 94-yard. To talk about his maturity he showed in that development.
Yeah, he was a little down on himself early on, but it's a long game, and he's a captain and he's a leader, so he's not allowed to be down. He's not allowed to slouch. He's got to stand up, his shoulder straight. You know, you got to have a championship demeanor at all times. Body language says a lot, you know. So he did. He bounced back, got himself right, went out there, made a huge play, and you know that's part of the maturation of a player. You know, you know when you're young, those things can really eat you up. When you're older, you got to go ahead and you got to snap clear and move on.
This is a name that Rebel fans have heard a lot the last couple of years, but just to get the numbers right, Boyd, who of course is a senior, that was his school record, 13th 100-yard receiving game, and he leads the nation currently in yards per reception with a minimum of 5 catches with 34.7. Very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and those are the kind of things we expected from him this year. I mean, you know, he had a lot of hype the last couple of years going in, and he's lived up to it. And, you know, so he's going to continue to get those opportunities. And I think with Keys now being really healthy, I mean, his week of practice this week's been tremendous. You know, again, with Woods and Presley, it's going to, you know, Boyd might not catch as many balls and may have a lot more yards and a lot more big plays because of it, you know. And it's one of those deals where, you know, with the way we're running the football, with all those other threats out there, it's going to create some opportunities for him to have some one-on-one situations, and he's dangerous in those.
All right. Head coach Tony Sanchez, Caleb Herring, yours truly, Russ Langer, live from Born and Raised, presented by Findlay Toyota. And speaking of, at Findlay Toyota, we speak 14 different languages. No matter how you say it, you'll always get a great deal at Findlay Toyota. And a reminder, Rebel fans, post your fan pictures with the hashtag LesOlsonIT, and you might win a $100 Amazon gift card. Les Olson Company hopes you win. Visit LesOlsonIT.com for contest details. Les Olson Company, your office technology partner. All right, we're going to take our first break in the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Come back with a whole lot more. We'll discuss the Rebels in Idaho a little bit more. Then later on, of course, we'll get into the discussion in depth about the upcoming game against the Ohio State Buckeyes. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, presented by Findlay Toyota. And this is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on Learfield Sports.
When Findlay Toyota has a... It's a really big deal. We're the largest Toyota dealer in Nevada. We have the largest facility and the most new vehicles. So it stands to reason our annual year-end clearance sale is also the largest, bar none. If you're looking for a great deal on a new 2017 vehicle, come to Findlay Toyota for the largest selection and the lowest prices. I'm John Barr, and remember,
at Findlay Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car.
The Governor Series, presented by NV Energy and Barrett Gold, is an all-sport competition between Nevada's two premier collegiate athletic departments, the Rebels in the South and the Wolfpack in the North. Points will be awarded equally for each sport during the head-to-head competition between the Rebels and the Wolfpack, and the universities will also compete in the classroom, as this series uniquely incorporates points for academic achievement by student-athletes. Follow the standings all season long at unlvrebels.com/governorseries.
Energy never disappears. It simply gets passed on to the next person, and the next, until before you know it, the entire community can feel it. In the last 5 years, we've given more than $27 million and over 175,000 volunteer hours to Nevada nonprofits. And we'll continue to give back, because with good for the community, is good for all of us. Learn more at nvenergy.com/powerofgood.
In a blink, just think of all the games, teams, hopes, and dreams that live and die. Because greatness lies in the blink of an eye. With the Contour Sports app from Cox, you can watch a game live and track multiple games at once, all right there on your TV. Don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. This is the sports app on Contour from Cox. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more.
Football is back, so you know what that means. It's the time to gather back at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road. And why would you go anywhere else? We have over 32 TVs, great Budweiser specials for all Rebel games, and the best bar food voted by you in the 2017 Best of Las Vegas survey. Yep, another one. Come be a part of the excitement this season and join other Rebel fans as they cheer on the team and cheers to a win. Or if you want to host your own viewing party, ask about reserving our bungalow room. Born and Raised, on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango, and in Henderson on St. Rose and Eastern.
More. More is good. Everybody likes more, including your car. Why? Because more has arrived at Chevron. That's right. Now Chevron with Techron has even more cleaning power to clean up deposits left by low-quality gas. And I'm not just talking about Chevron Supreme. Chevron went all out and put more cleaning power in every grade, every gallon. So that's more cleaning power for your car. And cleaning up deposits restores lost gas mileage. And every car loves that. Chevron with Techron. Now with more cleaning power. Care for your car.
A great time! Your entertainment destination, the South Point, invites you to experience the ultimate
great time
under one roof.
Bowling,
dancing, a live show, a movie, delicious dining, and one of South Point's 11 restaurants. So much to see, so much to do. You won't know where to start first. This week, make it a South Point week and discover for yourself why the South Point is your entertainment destination for a great time.
The winning spirit that drives the Rebel student athletes is rooted in the strength of the communities we all call home in Nevada. As the state's leading mining company, Barrick Gold plays a big role in building strong communities throughout Nevada, where our employees live and work. Today, Barrick continues its support for higher education, the most important asset in any community. We're proud to sponsor the Governor's Series and the hundreds of student athletes that represent our state, competing for the Rebels and the Wolfpack. At Barrick, we're all for Nevada, no matter who wins the Governor's Series.
Welcome back to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, presented by Finley Toyota. Looking for a great car deal? Remember, nobody sells or services more vehicles in Nevada than Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. And we're live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, the show brought to you by Finley Toyota. Here at Born and Raised, you can get free parlay cards, and you're invited to fill one out, one entry a day, up to five per week. That gives you a chance to win $100 in free play or a gift card. Download the Born and Raised app to find out the winners on Tuesday at 4 p.m. All kinds of Rebel specials, including $3 draft Bud Light and Mick Ultra, $4 draft Kilt Lifter, $20 100-ounce Bud Light and Mick Ultra Beer Towers. There are also NFL specials here at Born and Raised, like $6 Jameson and Malibu, $6 Absolute Bloody Marys. And you're invited to vote for them. And Best of Las Vegas at www.votebestoflasvegas.com/bar, B-A-R. And again, the 6th annual Wiffle Bar Tournament is October 14th. It's a 1980s theme. Sign up your four-person team on the app or on the website, which is bornandraised.com. All right, there you go. And not only that, but as we touched on earlier, Ray, how are those sliders, Coach?
They're pretty good. I've got one down. I got two more to go. But
all right.
They're pretty good.
All right. Well, based upon where you're on the show,
your breaks.
It's like taking timeouts. You got to manage
it. You got to manage your time appropriately. Exactly. A slider per break or something like that.
That's right.
That's right. All right, Rebels, again, a very, very impressive win on the road in Idaho. And, you know, Coach will be touching on this type of thing throughout the course of the 2017 season. But obviously, any win is a welcome win. But on the road, what does this do for a team's confidence, especially some of the younger players? They know now they can win on the road.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've won some road games in conference, but my understanding is that was our first non-conference road win in, like, I don't know, over 10 years or something like that, which is amazing. it's important to win anywhere, right? You got to win at home and, you know, and on the road, you know, just getting your guys dialed in. And again, going and beating a team that you lost to in overtime, you know, a team that, you know, had been on a good run and won a big bowl game. Our guys, you know, they were – you know, they went in with the right mindset, and they, you know, they had a little chip on their shoulder. I mean, and they need to keep that chip on their shoulder the rest of the year. We all do. I do. They do. You know, I mean, we need to go out and prepare kind of like our backs against the wall the entire season, you know, and they responded well with that. So I was really proud of them, again, you know, getting prepared after a really tough, gut-wrenching, you know, loss at home, game one. And how are you going to respond? Really going to define the rest of your season. So our guys responded really well, went out, played very maturely, got a good win, and regrouped, and now we're on to the next one.
Absolutely. I think going on the road, anytime you can win on the road is a big deal. I think especially after, you know, a tough loss at home, kind of redeeming yourself on the road is huge. Then you add to that the special circumstances of not being able to do a walkthrough. I know usually when you travel, when you land, you try to do a walkthrough at the stadium and try to get a walk of something like that. You weren't able to do that with the Kibbe Dome. Being a unique stadium, you know, it shows some maturity on their part to be able to handle the changes in the itinerary and still come out and execute on game day.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's one of those deals, too. Sometimes, you know, as coaches or leaders or, you know, when things happen that you can't control, the way you handle it and respond to it really dictates the way everybody else does, too. So our whole staff was just, you know, hey, we'll go ahead and group and figure it out. And what we actually did the next day was after breakfast, there was a 15-minute window where we could get out there. We hopped on the bus and went out there real quick, and she did kind of unique. Normally you don't do that on a game day, you know,
right.
But we knew it was a later kickoff. We had some time to do it. And so, again, it's just adjusting, but that's what games are all about, going ahead and adjusting and never getting overwhelmed by anything.
All right, and the other notes from the Rebel win over Idaho, they ran 50 plays on the ground for 357 rushing yards. So they piled up 22 first downs en route to the 44 points, and as a result, Evan Pantels only had to punt once.
Yeah, whenever you're running the ball that well, it's going to be hard to lose football games, you know, and that's going to be one of the biggest challenges. Can you sustain that throughout the course of the year? And there's some teams that are going to be hell-bent on not allowing you to do so, and that's where you're going to have to put the ball in the air. So what we'd want to do is create a balanced attack. Now, when I say balanced, it doesn't mean we're going to throw, you know, 50 and run it 50. I don't care if we throw it 70% of the time. I don't care if we run it 70%. What the defense does will dictate that. But we need to have a balanced attack so that we can threaten defenses, you know, with all phases of the game. And I think we're starting to evolve into that. You know, we've been able to run the ball well the last couple of years. I think last year we finished number 15 or something like that in the country. You know, we have a lot of those guys coming back, so we need to have that type of a year again. But now with the addition of Armani and a healthy receiving core, we now are a dual threat. I mean, we now can attack you through the air and on the ground, and we're going to be challenged this week. I mean, that's going to be one heck of a challenge against a really superior defense to see how that all plays out, but it's going to be an exciting challenge.
To your point about the rushing attack last year, to this year, to this point, number 4 in the nation, rushing yards is still impressive. You're on pace to repeat, if not do better than what you did last year. I think also saying what Armani Rodgers can do in the passing game with the receivers. There was a stretch in that Idaho game where Rodgers to Keys, Rodgers to Boyd, there's a 4 or 5 completions in a row where, you know, you showed that we can throw the ball with anybody.
Absolutely. You know, and the great thing about that, too, is he's not looking for a specific guy. He's just reading the defense and throwing to open receivers, and it's great to see. You know, and then some of the rushing yards that he had, those are actually pass plays, and you see him going through his first progression, second progression, third, nothing's there, stays calm, extends it for a 14, 15-yard game. That's a big, big deal. You know, early in the game, you saw him get flushed out of the pocket, and, you know, he took a sack where he probably should have thrown one away. He came back, and I kind of animatedly explained to him why you need to throw the ball away out of the pocket, you know. I got you, coach. You know, and all of a sudden you see that maturity, and you forget, God, he's in the fifth quarter of his career. It's like,
right.
You know, he's gonna be okay,
right,
you know.
Right.
So we gotta remind ourselves of that too. But God, his demeanor and the way he carries himself, so makes it so fun to coach him.
Absolutely.
He did carry 16 times for 97 yards. Is there some sort of thought, coach, or some sort of concern on some level about the number of times he's getting hit?
You know, I mean, there is, like, if he can avoid the hit, we want him to avoid it. We've talked to him about that. You know, you run a draw, you got 20 yards, and you've got three guys coming in on you, bearing down on you. It's okay to dive or to slide. You know, you're getting pressed to the sidelines, you know. But I told him, I said, you know, we got to limit some of those. I said, but don't let it limit your creativity, because he's got the ability to turn simple things into big, big things. And you see it all over college football with these dynamic quarterbacks and things that they're able to do. So we need to eliminate some of the unneeded hits. You know, he needs needs to understand. And as he sees more of the game, as he gets more of a feel, he'll know when to do those things. But then sometimes, I mean, heck, if you feel like you can get a crease and go, sometimes you got to go for it. I mean, that's, you know, God blessed him with a lot of abilities. One of it's being 6'5", 230. So, you know, you don't want to overdo it with it. But at the same time, that's one of his skill sets, and he needs to rely on that.
I think just like you said, learning as you go when you grow as a quarterback. That was one of the hurdles I had to personally get over, is kind of playing the game within the game. Sometimes it's not worth it to fight for that extra yard when, you know, you're punting the next down anyway, or when you're taking the sack, like you mentioned earlier, on a play. You shouldn't even take the hit. Just throw it away. You cut your losses here. Don't lose the yards, and
exactly.
Don't take the punishment. I think the game within the game is something that he's going to kind of learn to pick and choose, like you said, when to use your God-given talent. Like you said, 6'6", 230. That's a specimen, and it's going to be hard to tackle for anybody.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, as he learns, he'll within himself, there's not an X and O change that I think needs to happen, but within himself, he'll learn that some of these hits I don't need to take. I could step out of bounds here. I could throw it away here. And once he figures that out, there'll be no cause for concern with the running game.
No doubt about it. And those are things we went in and showed him. We made a little cut up and just said, okay, you know, these are the things we're talking about, where we're not telling you have to. We're giving you the option, but we're saying we'd rather you in these situations go down. You know, so the one thing is, it's kind of funny, you know, with athletes, it's, you don't want to overcoach them either.
Right.
It's like overcoaching
right.
a golf swing. It's like, okay, got a little hitch in there, but he's hitting pretty straight, you know.
Right.
And so with him, it's, you know, we want him to feel comfortable and be creative and do those things, but we also want him to realize that, hey, you know what, we all have so many miles we can take, you know, so be careful with that stuff.
Absolutely.
And if you can avoid it.
The other couple of other players I wanted to ask you about, Coach, particularly these performances. Xavier Campbell, 17 carries for 81 yards, a very productive game for him. Many of those carries and many of those yards later in the game when the team was trying to eat some clock.
Yeah, you know, and that's what we need to have, you know, for us to continue to be productive. You know, you have Armani rushing for yards, Letts is getting yards, but then to be able to have that second back to come in where you can feed him 17 times and, you know, chew up almost, you know, 100 yards. You know, he's a couple, two, three run plays away from having a 100-yard game himself. So, but again, he's a guy that's proven it over the last couple years. You know, again, him and Letts kind of got thrown into the fire before they were ready, but it was what it was. And last year, you saw him, you know, Charles Williams comes in, he emerges, and Lex is still there, and he's the third guy now not really getting a bunch of carries. And at the end of the year, when you saw Lex get hurt, he came in and had some hugely productive games against Wyoming and some other teams. So he's a guy that we trust. You know, he's a tough guy. He's a team guy. He's always there for us, and, you know, and he showed it. You know, again, you know, Charles ends up going down, next man up. You know, he stayed positive. And if he would have had a bad camp and felt sorry for himself because he wasn't getting all those totes that he wants to get, he wouldn't have been prepared to do that. So, again, I'm really proud of that group. And there's some other guys in there, too, that you're going to see emerge and make some plays.
Absolutely. I think the it's hard this day and age to demand one back to take so much punishment, to take so many carries. X coming in, you know, almost on point. You don't even really realize that, you know, he's the second back, so to speak, on the roster. Coming in with that drive and milking 8 seconds off the clock or 8 minutes off the clock with that behind that line. Those kind of things are the type of maturity, stepping up and playing your role that I like to see from a guy like Campbell coming off the bench.
No doubt. I mean, it makes you proud of those guys. I mean, and that's what winning football is, you know. Everybody ready to do what's best for the team.
On defense, I wanted to ask you also about this one player we haven't really talked too much about yet, Coach, that's Gabe McCoy.
Yeah, Gabe is a phenomenal athlete, you know, and he's really starting to learn to play inside the game, you know. I mean, his first start to, you know, obviously game one, you know, second one was this game against Idaho, and just realizing that, man, you can take care of your gaps, understand where you fit in the defensive scheme, don't try to do too much, just do your job, let your natural athletic ability do the rest. And I'll tell you what, he's getting that. It's hard for a young guy, you know. It's hard, you know, you're used to running around just making plays and kind of freelancing. You can't do that. That stuff will kill you. And now that he's starting to understand it, you're starting to see him really get to the football more often, doing a great job of leveraging people, great job of tackling in space. And I mean, he, before it's all said and done, he's going to be a heck of a football player for the Rebels.
I'm watching him on the field. He plays with a lot of energy. I think, you know, a lot of it is, like you said, just being a playmaker, wanting to make plays, sometimes forgetting that you have your play that's going to be yours. But you got to like the energy that he brings to defense.
Oh, if you asked him who's the best player on the team, his answer, 2 seconds, he'd say Gabe McCoy. You know what I mean? I love that, though.
Right.
I always say, no one's ever going to believe in you as much as you believe in yourself, you know. So he's got that self-belief and that conviction, and he's got the work ethic to go with it, you know. And the last part for him last year was just coachability. And it's not that he was against it. He just thought he knew more than he did, you know.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you're seeing a young guy start to understand where he fits in the system. And, you know, and again, he's going to have a great year for us. And he's a great athlete. When we put him in the right spot, he's going to make a lot of plays.
Two of the areas I know, Coach, you're looking to bolster after week one were penalties and turnovers, and certainly huge improvements from week one to week two in both those areas. Penalties way down, only five, not really many costly ones, and the one interception and then two fumbles that fortunately the Rebels were able to recover.
There's no doubt, and it's kind of funny. Football Scoop, footballscoop.com, really cool website, and they put a stat up there this week that teams that are plus one in the turnover margin in the first 3 weeks of the season are like 82 and 20-something. Right? I mean, that's their record. And teams that are minus one or below in the turnover margin were like 20-some-odd wins and 50-some-odd losses. And it's still the most important stat in football. I don't care how well you play.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You look at week one, and we've got more yards, and we've got more first downs, we have more red zone opportunities, and we have a loss. Why? Turnovers. You have three turnovers, one's a scoop and score. You turn the ball over, you're going to lose football games. And we did a much better job of creating turnovers and not giving up turnovers, and it results in a win.
Absolutely. It's been one of the things that has echoed throughout football history. Win the turnover battle. When I played, people before me played. Win the turnover battle is one of the biggest things. Now, this week going into it, don't want to jump too far ahead, but this week going into it, do you coach extra to try to create turnovers because you know how crucial the turnover margin is?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that it's kind of a funny thing because we talked about that a lot after week one. So we do a turnover circuit every single day. We do it every day in spring. We do it every – and sometimes maybe when you do something every single day and you talk about it, it becomes going through the motions. So we talked about mixing it up a little bit, putting a little bit different emphasis on it, you know, showing some different things just so it triggers in their mind how important that is. And then we got to do a great job every time we see it, celebrate the heck out of it, right? And on the opposite end, make sure we're doing a great job of ball security. So it's a big deal. You go, I mean, let's face it. If you're going to go beat a team like Ohio State, odds are stacked against you, right? They got a 5-4-star roster. They've got an entire 8 guys deep in their D-line, all with draft grades. How do you win that game? You got to make explosive plays, and you got to create turnovers. You've got to get them to turn the ball over. You got to create some opportunities that aren't just given opportunities. You know, I mean, it's not just going to be, you know, three and out and them a bunch of times, and us just methodically going down and scoring and winning
right,
a football
right.
game. Nobody beats those guys that way. So we're going to have to make some big plays, and big plays are turnovers.
All right, we're going to dive headlong into the upcoming game with the Rebels and Ohio State coming up this Saturday. Today game, by the way, it's starting at 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 o'clock in Columbus, Ohio, so get the coffee percolating and check out the Rebels as they go head-to-head with Ohio State, and that's coming up on this coming Saturday. I want to ask you this, though, Coach, because there's one player we haven't talked about yet, and we know about the importance of the young, relatively young defense, and one of the young members of that secondary is Robert Jackson.
Yeah, you know, Robert's done a really, really good job. You know, he was a junior college transfer a year ago. Took him a minute to figure out system, figure out scheme, and then really to become a confident player. And at that spot, that's probably the biggest asset you have. You have to be confident to live on an island, right? And he's done a great job. The last 2 weeks, he's really stepped up and done a good job of maturing. And this last game, he did a phenomenal job. You know, made some great pass breakups, some good tackles in space, and he'll continue to improve and get better.
I think one of the things I noted about him, not only stepping up to the challenge on his island, so to speak, but kind of taking ownership of the defense, telling guys where they need to go from his position, you know, within the system, and then also pointing to himself when he knew it was his bad, when he made the mistake or something like that. Just having that awareness, that leadership on defense is huge coming from that defensive back position.
Absolutely. I mean, if you've got guys play with confidence, can communicate well from the secondary, especially a game like this Saturday, it's all going to be communication because you're not going to be able to talk to each other, right?
Right.
Hand signals, hand communication, you know, nonverbal type stuff. And when you got older guys that are comfortable doing that and can get in, communicate and get on the same page, you get the defense set. And that's half the battle on defense, is just getting set.
We're going to take our second break now, the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Buena Reyes, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, presented by Findlay Toyota, and this is Learfield Sports. Okay, 4 minutes.
If you want, buy boots. If you want to turn your crush into something more, say hi. At Country Financial, we know nothing is insurmountable if you just start small. Sometimes, when you have more questions than answers, it might seem easier to do nothing at all. So, whether you're protecting the things you love or preparing for tomorrow, don't get overwhelmed. Get started. We understand every situation is unique. That's why Country Financial helps you take small steps today with personalized insurance and financial services that can have a big impact on your family's future. Too often, too late comes too soon. So when you're ready to start, we're ready to help every step of the way. Country Financial. Meet your local representative at countryfinancial.com.
Energy never disappears. It simply gets passed on to the next person and the next. Until before you know it, the entire community can feel it. In the last 5 years, we've given more than $27 million and over 175,000 volunteer hours to Nevada nonprofits. And we'll continue to give back, because what's good for the community is good for all of us. Learn more at nvenergy.com/powerofgood.
Football is back, so you know what that means. It's the time to gather back at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. And why would you go anywhere else? We have over 32 TVs, great Budweiser specials for all Rebel games, and the best bar food voted by you in the 2017 Best of Las Vegas survey. Yep, another one. Come be a part of the excitement this season and join other Rebel fans as they cheer on the team and cheers to a win. Or if you want to host your own viewing party, ask about reserving our bungalow room. Born and Raised on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango, and in Henderson on St. Rose and Eastern.
ESPN's Neil Everett here. This college football season, Nissan's putting you in the driver's seat. Go to NissanHeismanHouse.com. Build a customized Titan wrapped in your school's colors. Then register for a chance to win it. Or you can win a trip to the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Enter the Nissan Heisman House sweepstakes. Take on today. Nissan, proud supporter of college athletics.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends 12-8-17. Open to residents of USDC 18 and older. Official rules at NissanUSA.com/Heisman House Sweepstakes. Sponsored by Nissan North America.
A great time! Your entertainment destination, the South Point, invites you to experience the ultimate
great time
under one roof.
Bowling,
dancing, a live show, a movie, delicious dining, and one of South Point's 11 restaurants. So much to see,
so much to do.
You won't know where to start first. This week, make it a South Point week and discover for yourself why the South Point is your entertainment destination for a great time.
More. More is good. Everybody likes more, including your car. Why? Because more has arrived at Chevron. That's right. Now Chevron with Techron has even more cleaning power to clean up deposits left by low-quality gas. And I'm not just talking about Chevron Supreme. Chevron went all out and put more cleaning power in every grade, every gallon. So that's more cleaning power for your car. And cleaning up deposits restores lost gas mileage, and every car loves that. Chevron with Techron. Now with more cleaning power. Care for your car.
Rebels fans, we want you to win. Start posting on social media with the hashtag LesOlsonIT for your chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card every 2 weeks and be entered into a grand prize drawing for a 60-inch 4K TV. Whether you need to copy it, print it, scan it, or store it, Les Olson is there for all of your office technology needs. Just Les Olson it. Visit LesOlsonIT.com for details.
Les Olson Company.
And welcome on back to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, presented by Findlay Toyota. Findlay Toyota congratulates UNLV football on its 50th anniversary. Findlay Toyota and UNLV Athletics together to make one great team. And a reminder, don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more. Born and Raised, come watch the Golden Knights season opener October 6th here at Born and Raised. Bit of history when the Golden Knights start off on October 6th. Watch it right here. The fundraiser will benefit the Las Vegas Golden Knights Foundation. And here at Born and Raised, we'll raffle off signed memorabilia, tickets to the games, and some Knights swag. There'll be great drink and food specials to welcome our Knights fans right here at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. Okay, Rebels at Ohio State, ranked 10th in one poll, 9th in another. Coach, what about the Buckeyes?
Good football team. You know, obviously, Urban Meyer's had a heck of a career of building winners, and Ohio State's been winners for a long, long time. You know, they've been playing football for over 130 years. So, a team with a lot of history, a lot of tradition. You know, you look at Barrett and what he's been able to do. There's very few players that have ever had that captain deal on their jersey for 3 years. It's just amazing to have a guy that's so revered and, you know, and a great leader, and that's the right spot to have it at, you know. Their running back, Dobbins, he's a heck of a football player. He's jumped onto the scene and, you know, immediately become one of the most explosive players in the country behind a big offensive line. They got 3 6'7" guys, a 6'5", and a 6'4" guy. So, I mean, they're big and strong. Defensively, biggest thing about them is the depth in the defensive line. I mean, there are times it looks like they're making a hockey change, you know. you got the whole group going out and a whole another one coming in. And, you know, again, you know, for us, you know, you're not – when you wear people down up front, they've usually, you know, in our conference, you have 5 or 6 guys that you're kind of rotating through and trying to keep fresh, where they've got 8 guys that are going to roll in the entire time. So, you know, there's some areas that I think we could take advantage of, that we need to take advantage of. I think there's some areas where we're going to have to be really stout and play well. We're going to have to try to find a way to run a football against a team that doesn't really allow a lot of people to run the football against them. So it's going to be difficult, but we know we got to throw the ball to win the game. I think everybody knows that. But without a running game that can keep the clock going and, you know, get some of those, executing some of those third and shorts and those second and shorts, we've got to be able to hand the ball off and be able to move the chains. And then special teams, you know, you look at special teams and, you know, they've had a little issue with the kickoffs. They've had a couple go out of bounds, a couple go real short. He made a change this week, my understanding. And I know he's expressing frustration there, so I assume they're going to be overcorrected in those areas, right? So we got to do a really good job of tackling in space and using good ball placement, not letting them set up the returns how they want to.
Absolutely. Being a football junkie, and college football in particular, Ohio State, you see that on the schedule. You get excited, if nothing else, for the history of that program. Have you felt the team at all be distracted in these past couple weeks, having the bye week to prepare, knowing that they're going up against the Ohio State? You know, everybody has this, you know, with due respect, this admiration for Ohio State as a program. Have you felt that be a distraction for the team?
You know, I haven't, and you know, and unfortunately, the reason I probably haven't is because of the attitude that we took after week one. We've had such a focus and emphasis on us and the things that we got to get better at. You know, we've prepared for them just like we would anybody else, but we've spent no time talking about their history or tradition. We've spent no time talking about Cinderella. We've spent no time. We've completely talked about, I mean, today I had a list of all the things I thought we should have done better at practice. We went over every single one by one, and it was about challenging our guys every single day. So, again, I just think the consistency in the approach and the messaging, you know, settles the guys down. And to this point, we've played pretty well against big teams, especially on the road. I mean, we've been competitive and given ourselves opportunities. This will probably be the biggest challenge. It is the highest ranked team we've played, especially at this point. It's not year one of Coach Harbaugh going into Michigan. You know, it's not, you know, it's this is an evolved Ohio State football team. So, but, you know, they've had some challenges. You know, and you look at their last, you know, 7 games, you know, they've got 2 overtime wins, they've got 2 losses, they've got a 1-point win, and then 2 wins in that time, too. So, they've had some things that they've had to overcome. So, I think we saw one of their players today, you know, talking about our offense and, you know, and doing a lot of compliments, and then at the end he finished with, but I think we're going to shut him out. So, you know, it's one of those deals where, it's, you know, hey, our guys got to, you know, they got to take that personal. You know, surely, it's okay to take it personal.
Surely some bulletin board material for you.
Yeah, absolutely, a little bit.
Rebels in Ohio State coming up this Saturday. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. And, Coach, you mentioned the depth of the Ohio State defense.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like the common denominator for the Rebels in the first 2 games was the stellar performance of the offensive line, but obviously this is going to be their biggest test.
Well, it is. I mean, you look at an Army team that does a great job of running the football against anybody, and I think they rush for 150, 60-some-odd yards. I mean, and that's pretty stingy, you know. And it gave them a chance, but they were able to run to the point where they got first downs. They were able to move the chains, and they gave themselves an opportunity going into the second half. So, you know, we got to be a little more productive than that. You know, I think that, you know, if CS approach or go over that 200-yard mark, then that means we're doing some really good things. So, again, you know, it's going to be hard pressed against these guys, you know, but I believe in our guys, and I think we got a pretty stout offensive line that Coach Garrison's built up over the last couple of years, and we're ready to go.
We're going to take another break on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, presented by Finley Toyota. This is Learfield Sports.
I'm Marcus Berg. When you've been hurt in a wreck, you need a lawyer that cares and is prepared to go to work for you. At Mossberg Injury Lawyers, we have the knowledge and experience to get you the money you deserve.
Get Mossberg on your side. Call 222-4555.
If you've been injured by someone else's bad decisions, Mossberg Injury Lawyers is here to help. Don't just take our word for it. Check out our reviews on Yelp or go to our website.
Get Mossberg on your side. Call 222-4555.
At Finley Toyota, our mission statement is written in our showroom for everyone to see. It reads, a world-class environment dedicated to building lifelong relationships through integrity and commitment. If that sounds like a family business you'd like to do business with, we invite you to come in today. I'm John Barr, and remember,
he'll do anything, at Finley Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car.
Hey, it's your buddy Gooch with some news from Capriati Sandwich Shop. They got this new sandwich that I am totally in love with, the Chicken Chipotle, but it's only available for a limited time. Now, personally, I've always been partial to Capriati's signature sandwich, the Bobby, and I know a lot of you feel the same way. But get out of your comfort zone and try this new Chicken Chipotle sandwich, and I promise you'll love it. Unfortunately, it's only going to be available for a limited time. If you snooze, you lose. With 35 valley-wide locations, there's a Capriati's near you. To find one, check out capriati's.com.
The High Rollers of Supercross are all in for $1 million.
How is this going to shake out in Vegas?
The Monster Energy Cup. Tickets start at $20. Additional charges may apply. Visit UNLVtickets.com. Sam Boyd Stadium, October 14th.
Welcome back to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Russ Langer here with Caleb Herring and Coach Tony Sanchez. Finley Toyota's 2017 model clearance is underway. All 2017 models are being sold at clearance prices. Come in today for the best selection. And here at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, the show brought to you by Finley Toyota. And again, the Rebels getting set. Well, the big showdown with Ohio State. Ohio State humbled Indiana in their first game. Then they were upset in the second game by Oklahoma. But then they came back, as we talked about, as they defeated Army rather handily, 38-7. So this is going to be, for the Rebels, the seventh top 10 team to play UNLV, in the first since they played Boise State in 2011, when Boise State was ranked number 5. Caleb, you may recall that game.
I do recall that game. I think I was knocked out of that game in the fourth quarter. But, the first half, we competed. I think, if I remember correctly, we were right there with them that game. That was back when Phil Payne and Mike Johnson were the receiving corps. We hung with them through three quarters, I believe. They pulled away, of course, and showed us that they were worthy of the number 5 title by the end, and then I watched from the sideline after being knocked out. But yeah, those kind of games, I think people get up for. I think the competitor in you gets up to the challenge, and you want to put your best foot forward and represent yourself and your program in the best way. And I think UNLV is poised to do that here with the talent that they have on the team and the competitive nature of the team. I think this is a great situation for them to show that they are capable of playing on the big stage.
Well, 2 years ago they did that when they went to Michigan, and they lost the game. Michigan was in a position at that point where they were shutting people out left and right. The Rebels scored a touchdown. They came very close to scoring a second touchdown the last play of the game. And so the Rebels, that's a respectable showing, certainly well within the realm of possibility here.
Yeah, I mean, even last year, and we didn't know how the season was going to turn out, but UCLA was a ranked top 25 ranked team, and it's a 7-point game in the fourth quarter. After a targeting penalty, kind of, went south from there. But, guys did a great job of just showing up and competing, and our guys worked too hard to go out there and lay over. They're fine, believe me. All the stuff that people are talking about and how hard it's going to be and this and that, I don't think our guys give a crud about.
Well, you made mention that nobody's talking about the great history and the great tradition of Ohio State. It's probably to the Rebels' advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. From playing and this, I mean, at the end of the day, when you're sitting in the locker room, none of this is all great stuff and it's fun, you got to do it. But when you're in that locker room, you're getting ready to go play, It's about alignment, assignment, technique, and fanatical effort.
Absolutely. And the guys, like you said, they've been locked in. The Lexington Thomas, guys like that who have that swagger about them that just, you know, I'm the best guy on the field no matter what. That's the perfect attitude to have going into a game like this where maybe who cares if they do or not, but other people don't think he can do it. You're looking to prove them wrong. You want to prove them wrong.
Absolutely. You want to play the best. You want to be the best. You want to play the best. And, you know, it's something we're working at in this program. We're excited about the opportunity. We wouldn't want to be playing anybody else.
Now, some of the fans asking Coach about the early, just for the sake of the fans knowing, the Rebels are going tomorrow, not Friday, and then that'll give them a good portion of the day Friday to get a lay of the land in a couple of time zones difference and all of that good
stuff. Yeah, a little adjustment, good night's sleep, get a chance to go to the stadium, practice there, and then you wake up, your body's acclimated, ready to go.
All right, we'll see you on the plane.
Yeah, look forward to it.
All right, Caleb, see you then.
Great time.
All right, the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. I want to thank the entire production crew, everybody here at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, brought to you by Findlay Toyota. Rebels in Ohio State this Saturday, 9:01 a.m. Pacific Time. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on Learfield Sports.
The Governor Series, presented by NV Energy and Barrick Gold, is an all-sport competition between Nevada's two premier collegiate athletic departments, the Rebels in the South and the Wolfpack in the North. Points will be awarded equally for each sport during the head-to-head competition between the Rebels and the Wolfpack, and the universities will also compete in the classroom as this series uniquely incorporates points for academic achievement by student-athletes. Follow the standings all season long at unlvrebels.com/governorseries.
When Findlay Toyota has a sale, it's a really big deal. We're the largest Toyota dealer in Nevada. We have the largest facility and the most new vehicles, so it stands to reason our annual year-end clearance sale is also the largest, bar none. If you're looking for a great deal on a new 2017 vehicle, come to Findlay Toyota for the largest selection and the lowest prices. I'm John Barr, and remember,
at Findlay Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car.
A great time! Your entertainment destination, the South Point, invites you to experience the ultimate
great time
under one roof.
Bowling,
dancing, a live show,
a movie,
delicious dining, and one of South Point's 11 restaurants. So much to see,
so much to do.
You won't know where to start first.
This week, make it a South Point week and discover for yourself why the South Point is your entertainment destination for a great time.
The winning spirit that drives the Rebels student-athletes is rooted in the strength of the communities we all call home in Nevada. As the state's leading mining company, Barrick Gold plays a big role in building strong communities throughout Nevada, where our employees live and work. Today, Barrick continues its support for higher education, the most important asset in any community. We're proud to sponsor the Governor Series and the hundreds of student-athletes that represent our state, competing for the Rebels and the Wolfpack. At Barrick, we're all for Nevada, no matter who wins the Governor Series.
On the Rebel Sports Network, this has been the Tony Sanchez Show. Brought to you by Country Financial. At Country Financial, we know planning for your future can feel overwhelming, but something this important deserves attention. Take simple steps today at countryfinancial.com/simple steps. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Rebel Sports Network.
Got something to say to the guys? Text the Findlay Kia text line at 69187. Findlay Kia, on West Sahara and online at findlaykia.com. Come see a Kia today.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life,
Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.9 FM is KWWN, Las Vegas, K265EZ. It's time for the MMA Insiders, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. Now, here's Adam Hill and Brett Okamoto with this week's Inside Scoop on Mixed Martial Arts.
It is Adam Hill and Brett Okamoto here on Wednesday night. This is our new home. We've been here a little bit now, so check us out each and every Wednesday after the coach's show, 7 o'clock, as we bring you everything going on in the world of MMA. Get to the recap of last week, two events in the MMA world this week that we'll get into. And, of course, listen, I wanted to just start the entire show and just carry it all the way through with Ronda Rousey stuff, but we'll wait. We'll hold off on that.
Really?